Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Alright, beautiful souls, let's just jump right into it. Hope everybody's doing well and has had a nice week. I am just realizing right here off the bat that we are well into, well over 200 episodes now. I can't tell, or I should have checked probably exactly. I think the publishing website, the distribution site that we use for this podcast says that we are on episode 207, I believe, but in my files here, I have it as 202, so I'm not exactly sure what's properly correct. I'm gonna guess that my files are wrong and that the distribution is correct because it has literally every episode in perfect order saved on this big cloud drive, and I am not the best organizer, so I'm going to guess that that is probably the accurate number, which is really crazy to think that this is the 207th episode of this debauchery, this madness, this kooky patooky podcast that I have just enjoyed doing for so long now. It's gone through so many changes, so many different functions and purposes. I still, of course, envision it growing and becoming a bigger thing in a sense, you know, like I've talked about it before, but getting, you know, doing some video podcasting, getting it where I can have some clips and you know, getting into streaming and things like that. But it's a long, arduous, and expensive process. And at the end of the day, I'm probably just going to need to have a friend come over here who is very fluid or fluent in that world, who can just say, look, you're going to need this, let's set this up, and, you know, this is how you can make that work. But until that day comes, I'm still also happy to be here just doing a purely audio podcast. And it's funny also thinking about how much it's changed just in that format, going from a strictly two-person podcast that we would do, I think it was once a month, for a while. Like, I think for almost a year, it was, or maybe over a year, I'm not sure, it was just one episode a month, and or maybe it was every 2 weeks, I think it was just once a month. And then, pandemic comes, it changes to every week, me and Batman, and we thought, okay, cool, now we can do one every week. And it was growing and developing, and it was cool to, you know, also work with M94.5, who still distributes this this podcast for us, thankfully. And, you know, it was going into purely an interview podcast, but it's extremely hard to get guests. It's really hard to get guests on the show. I think constantly about new people or new people I could bring on in some kind of format, but usually it just kind of as with most things, because I tend to be lazy and I get very distracted, usually that kind of thing has to just fall in my lap, like a good episode, like with Mason. That was a great episode with Mason. I enjoyed that very much, and it just happened because he was here, and it made a lot of sense to put him on the show. I might have a chance to talk to Martin Riese, who is the German water sommelier. For those who might not know I'm bringing him up because I might be able to get him on the show. But if you guys don't remember who he is, he was just this guy I saw on TikTok for a long time. Older guy, you know, not much older, probably in his, you know, late 40s or something. And he, is a German with a very strong accent, in a funny way, a nice way, and he's a certified water sommelier, and a sommelier is like a special, like someone whose specialty is in a certain thing. Like people will do, like, you know, go to a wine sommelier to find like the best pairing for, like, I don't know, special events or whatever. And he is that for water. And he's a really big advocate for, you know, trying to help consumers understand the difference between just buying relabeled tap water, like when a company will just basically sell you tap water from the state that maybe went through like one filter, and then just sticking a label on it and selling it back to you. It's you know, he's really good at like investigating the companies, interviewing the people who make them, showcasing new water companies, going deep on why, you know, expensive water is expensive and which one is worth the money and which ones aren't. And I really found that interesting. And I found out, and then I did an impression of him on the video, and he duetted that video. So I thought, oh, he's also a really good sport. That's nice. And he it also was a guest on Your Mom's House, which is this big podcast with Tom Segura and his wife, Christina P. And I realized, oh, that's crazy. I've heard his interview, but I didn't put it together that it was the same guy. And years later, now I got to go and be on Christina P's podcast, Where My Mom's At, and I even told her, like, you know, it's wild. I actually kind of know Martin now, and he was a guest on your show years ago, and now we might even be able to do some content together next time he's in Germany. And she's like, oh, that's so wild. How full circle is that? Like, very cool. But yeah, it was, I just had a flashback just now of standing in that room with Christina P and like talking to this woman in such a casual way. It's so, still like such a shock to me that has by far still been like one of the greatest highlights of my career in a long time. Definitely of the year, but like, wow, so fun. Yeah, so the podcast has changed and shifted a lot over 200 episodes, and a lot of it has also been me standing alone in some form of room, rambling endlessly into the wall, thinking about the opinions of people as they hear it and if they want to be a part of it and how we can sort of, you know, include this community a bit more. And I think, again, like once this can turn into more of a interactive thing, like I'd love to do some podcasting, like on streaming, where people can interact and see it live, and we can even do some activities together. And that's a fun thing to kind of engage with, and then you can rewatch it on YouTube or listen to it. You know, get, you know, edit out like the, you know, longer parts that inevitably will happen when you're streaming live, but make it like punchy and interesting as a video for later for people who might have missed it. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I haven't done it in a while, but I could do a TikTok live at some point soon, because at least that's also like a filmed thing, and it usually ends up giving me a few fun clips that I can use at the end to make some content with. Speaking of content, also in these past 200 episodes, my career has changed quite a lot. You know, it's at a funny place now where I'm, you know, it's nothing insane, but, you know, getting stopped on the street, you know, at least once every time I go out now. Had a funny interaction yesterday where the city's packed out right now, and I happened to be in like the most crowded part of the city because I was going to a doctor's appointment. And, you know, sitting on this chair in the shade with my headphones in, looking at my phone, trying, you know, don't want to disturb or bother anybody. And I get stopped three times. Two of them were fans, very nice people who wanted to say they enjoyed the videos. And that's always welcome. You're always welcome to say that. It's always going to warm my heart. And the third person was just a random elderly lady who chose me out of literally anybody in the city. I don't know if she understood how little I understood of what she was saying. She was probably 80. She was walking around with a walking cane, like one of those, you know, U-shaped ones that you kind of step into, like a walking cart thing. Very sweet. Thankfully, she was a very sweet lady, but she just singled me out. I, you know, had to do the whole thing of like taking the headphones out and saying like, I'm sorry. You know, I thought maybe at first she was going to ask if she could have my seat or if she needed help lifting something. I thought, well, there must be some reason why I've been singled out. No, No, I think in the end it was just because I was a young looking person and she wanted me to, she doesn't like that the trees around her apartment that she can see from her balcony tend to have bicycles chained to them because that's not where they go. And we need to protect the, from what I understood, it was just that she wants to protect the trees and the bikes don't go there. The bikes go on a rack where they need to be stored somewhere else. So if and she's written letters and she's tried to contact the city and no one helps her. And she made me promise her, like, versprochen, like really promise her that I would take photos of the bikes and put it, she said, just put it on the internet. Like, just tell the internet that people should stop doing that. And I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Stand there and say, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about this. I don't know. I don't live in this area. I don't know if she thought I was a tourist. I thought maybe at first she thought I put my own bike on the tree and I was going to have to explain how I had walked there and that I didn't even live in this area. It wasn't like I was sitting on a seat attached to a company or sitting on a seat attached to her building. It was like a public open area seating spot under the shade of a public tree. And I was just finding shade on this extremely hot day to kill half an hour until my doctor's appointment because I arrived too early. But if I had waited too long, I would have arrived late. So I decided to go early and just wait. Ended up having like a 25-minute conversation with this lady. Sweet as can be, thank God. Literally made me shake her hand, look her in the eyes, and promise her that I would do it. What are you going to do? Of course, I was like, I guarantee you. I promise you. I promise you on my life. We will find the culprits who are destroying God's nature, and we will put them underground together. You got it, Grandma. I will find them myself. I don't need the internet. They're not gonna have legs to cycle with anymore after this. They're gonna wish they had never locked their bikes to a single tree in this goddamn city. They're gonna rue the day. Oh, they're gonna rue it. I was like, yeah, sure, I promise. And then and then she walked off and I was like, phew! Like I ran away so fast that I'm sure I left a trail of burnt rubber from my sneakers. Funny spot to be in. I cannot believe how little I got to chill in that half an hour. But again, if you're just approaching to say you're a fan, hey, that's so sweet. Thank you. I'll absolutely always talk. If you want to take a photo or something, that's my, you know, you're helping me live something I've dreamed about my whole life. So please, no problem. But if you are over the age of 75 and you have an issue with the public, an issue with public services or like the civil organization of the city's like engineering infrastructure, I'm not really your guy. But you know, you gotta be nice. Come on, she's an old lady. Of course I'm gonna be nice. She even asked me my name. And I said, Bill. No, I'm kidding. I told her my name. But yeah, so that was a really funny thing. And yeah, that's like I was saying, things have been changing a lot in these 200 episodes. And now the old lady thing could have definitely happened regardless of anything going on in my career because she didn't know who I was. But the other people stopping me on the street, that's been happening a lot more. And yeah, I never would have thought, you know, at this point that I'd be in a position, you know, my day-to-day doesn't feel different. My day-to-day, it's very hard for me to get that feeling that something, it's growing or brewing. You know, I keep trying to convince myself to work through those boring lulls to get to those exciting moments where I feel like I have an audience again. It's really hard to feel that. You get so used to, you know, after a while, with enough engagement online, you turn all the notifications off. So your phone's pretty quiet all day. And, you know, you just get texts and stuff. But, you know, I don't feel like an audience there. I just feel the pressure of, like, the jobs. I'm like, oh, I've got to do a video for this banking company. I'm going to do a video for this tax company. I got to do a video for this educational coding school. I've got to do a video for this bike company. I've got to do a video for this language app. I've got to do a video for this hot sauce company. You know, it's like, and that was a real list, by the way. I just like the thing of like having the fans or whatever. I don't feel that like on a day-to-day level. And I'm probably gonna try to, I mean, part of me is like, hopefully one day I will look back fondly on this time when it was more private. At the same time, what that means is that the career has grown. So it's kind of a bittersweet thing. It's been a really funny time. I do want to say, before I forget, July 20th, I guess that's about 9 days from the release of this. If you have not gotten tickets yet, that is a cool, small indie festival that a friend of mine has put on for years, and this will be the first year where I can finally participate. In the show notes, there is a link titled Need More Jordan in Your Life? Who doesn't? Here's everything you want in one simple site. It's the third link in this list here. Or no, sorry, it's the second one. I just took one out. So it's the second one in the list, and that will give you that will tell you everything you need to know about Brimbamborium. Brimbamborium is the name of the festival. I'm doing a slot, I think around 7 or 8 o'clock, and you can still get tickets. It's a cool, very family-friendly festival up until when it gets, you know, like around 10 or 11 or so. Then I think all the DJs come out and the people start taking mushrooms in the woods and stuff, you know. I won't be there for that part, but I am going to be there. Not only running some new material for the comedy tour that I'm doing in the fall, but also playing some music, which I have not done on a stage in a long time. So, a few classic songs of mine, some older gems, and some new jokes, some stories, you know, 45 minutes, 1 hour. A lot of other great artists and DJs and performers, and you can go there with your kids and hang out in the daytime and leave before it gets dark. Or if you want to go party, go there. There's beer tents and food trucks, and then in the night, everyone just, you know, camps out and stays up late dancing with the DJs and everything. So wanted to let you know, if you're in Germany in the next 9 days, Brimbamborium Festival, go check it out. And yeah, today's episode isn't going to be super long, but I did want to give you something fresh, and I wanted to see, I had something else lined up here that I was going to run your way, that I was going to give you a little heads up on. I also wanted to say that, in the city yesterday when I was assaulted by this old lady, it was a hectic day. With a great result. Going to get real open and personal here, but I have been wanting to, for maybe the past 2 or 3 years, to really like dedicate proper time and go to therapy. I think it's something that I've really needed to do for a long time to help me sort of balance my emotions and sort of like gain some tools that I'm lacking in order to manage and balance my mental health. I think it's a really important thing. I think everyone can benefit from it. And I'm very happy to see that like the shame that it used to be associated with has really deteriorated in the last, you know, 30 years or something. It's really cool and exciting to see that it has become such an open and honest conversation for a lot of people, because it's a real thing. Like, people need help, and that's totally, it's totally okay. So I was out yesterday going to do two things I was nervous about. One, have my first consultation with a new therapist, which ended up being the best thing that I could have done. It was just, you know, this woman recommended by a friend, and we had like our consultation, and I filled out some paperwork, and then we had a little sit-down sesh to talk about, you know, what's what my, you know, what I'm there for, what I want to talk about, what I want to work on. And like literally in the consultation, I got teary eyed. Like I wasn't bawling my eyes out, but it was the consultation talking about things that are on my, I was like, well, I was like, there's plenty of things that I would like to better and you know, gain more perspective and strength on, you know, in my life. But definitely there's a couple of currently pressing issues that, although I'm in a good place now with them, have always been a part of my struggle. And I want to, you know, make this, I want to make that better and work on this and, you know, focus on these sorts of things. But I, I hope you guys didn't hear that message that just beeped so loudly in my ear. Oh my God. That was so loud. Maybe I'll see if I can mute that really quick. But yeah, I went to the thing and I got like teary-eyed in the very first consultation with her, which was, you know, I didn't expect to do that. I don't know that she expected me to do that either, but she was very cool about it and very calm and calming. And it just really, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna like her. I'm gonna like this. I think this is going to be a good match. So in the end, it was a really, really, really good idea to go there and to try it. And I'm really pumped to go back. Actually, we already have our next meeting locked in, and yeah, I think this was a really, really good decision. And I hope that also for her, I hope that there is, space, you know, like I hope there's space for me in her client, you know, in her roster, because sometimes they just don't have the space, you know. And yeah, I got it silenced. Okay, sorry. Yeah, it was really good to do that. And then, so I was nervous about doing that, but it ended up being a great thing that I feel really good about. And it's like, I'm on the right track for that. And then I had to do something also super nerve-wracking, which is get a mole checked. I have never had to go get a mole checked before. You know, I've had one under my arm looked at once by a doctor because I was in there already and I was like, hey, this mole just, you know, has always looked a little funky. It's under my arm. I never think about it. It doesn't hurt or anything. Like, can you just take a look at it? And he was like, oh, yeah, it's normal. It's fine. I was like, cool. But I've always had this one mole on my thigh. And recently, I mean, this isn't going to, it's not going to sound gross or anything. It was just like, I had a mole that's always been there and it's always looked the same. And then all of a sudden, a week ago or a little less than a week ago, it just, you know, changed color and started to kind of hurt. And I was like, that's odd. That's never happened. And I was like, well, the one thing I've always been told my whole life is if a mole starts to look different or starts to feel different than it's ever felt, you should go to get it checked out. I was like, I guess I got to do that now. And so I book a dermatologist appointment, which is already for me like a nerve-wracking thing. I don't like going to doctors. Anyone who knows me famously knows this story of when I went to a dermatologist years ago, and the doctor was such an asshole that I like had like a stream of consciousness, like panic cry confessional into a TikTok video. And it was like the first thing I ever made that went really viral. It was way before I was doing the Johannes videos, you know, I think it was like 2018 or something. I had this video where I was just like walking down the street, like, you know, panic puffing and like, and she was so mean to me. And it was true. I was so upset. Like, I couldn't believe anyone could be so awful. So I've been so scarred by that, that I've tried to not go to the doctor. But here I am with a weird mole and I was like, I gotta go get this checked out. Like, what if I don't get this checked out? And then it's cancer. Like, I'm going to be such an idiot if I can't have fixed it sooner. So I go to the dermatologist. So this is the doctor's appointment I was waiting for when this old lady asked me to like take pictures of trees. And then I was like, it's time to go. And I went to the clinic and I got inside. And you should know, the mole is really high up on my leg. It is like literally in that crevice point where the leg ends and the crotch area begins. It is in there. So like, I'm gonna have to like get in my underwear and I'm gonna have to separate. I'm gonna have to use one hand to pull the leg fat up to show it. And I'm gonna have to use the other hand to hide and protect the other things. You know, like I'm gonna have to make some space here. And I was already uncomfortable about doing that. I'm already uncomfortable about going to a doctor. And I'm trying to think to myself what the best option would be. Like, okay, well, if it's an older woman, I'll feel nurtured and I'll feel safe. If she's nice, cool. If it's like a dickhead guy, which I've encountered so many dickhead doctor guys with like slicked back hair and white pants and just the worst human behaviors. I was also like, well, at least if it's a dude and he's a dick, I can kind of deal with it as long as he just tells me what's going on with the mole. Fine, okay, no problem. But I was just brainstorming what could it be? What could make me feel better about any of this? And I get there and I sign in, and very quickly the doctor calls me into their office, and it is a young, beautiful woman. It's a woman like, I don't know, not older than me. Like, I would be very surprised if this woman was over 33. She's probably 31, 29, somewhere in there. Dressed very cool. You know, she wasn't wearing like a doctor's coat. She was dressed really cool. She was like dressed for like, you know, a nice like hip picnic before the music festival. You know, she's got like nice colors on. You can tell she's got like taste and style. She's trendy looking, you know, young, she's pretty. And I was like, great, I'm gonna have to spread my leg fat and cup my junk in my underwear in front of this beautiful woman. I was like, I don't want that to be the case. But in the end, it was like, you know, I gotta do it. And it even benefited me that she was younger, because it's like 9.5 out of 10 times a younger person will speak pretty good English. Unless they're from the, you know, it can be that they're from a small village or a town or something. That's totally fine. That makes sense. But I don't necessarily know if she was like born and bred German. Obviously, she was fluent enough. Maybe she was, you know, like a half breed, or has lived and studied there long enough for it was, you know, not noticeable. But her accent didn't sound extremely German to me. So and she had like this sort of like olivey brownish skin tone and black hair. So she didn't look very German. I don't know. She looked kind of Greek also. So maybe she was, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But yeah, she's like, all right, let's see it. I was like, I remember like she said, okay, let's take a look at your mole. And I was like, just so you know, it's really high on my leg, so I'm gonna have to get in my underwear. She's like, that's okay. Like, what do you talk? Just do it, weirdo. You know, I was like overthinking it completely. Surprise. And I sat on the paper bed, and pulled my shorts down, and then did exactly the maneuver that I kept imagining myself needing to do. I literally had to do it. I had to use my left hand and pull that leg fat up so they could see she could get to the mole in that crevice spot. Take the other hand and push the other stuff and kind of hide it, kind of protect myself from any sort of like, you know, explorative accidents. And she took this little magnifying eyeball thing with the flashlight, was like, and got like right up on it. And when she basically had the breath from her nose breathing into the hair on my crotch, that was the moment where I said to myself, I am so glad that I made sure to take a shower this morning. I was like, it is a hot, sweaty day. I'm walking all around the city. You know, elderly lady or dickhead guy or worst case scenario, a young, beautiful woman. All of those cases, you know, being a possibility, I'm going to have to make sure that I've showered and scrubbed and made sure that everything's clean, fresh underwear, fresh shorts. I don't want the slightest hint of like human flaw to be coming out of this area when someone's that close. I was so happy. I didn't realize that she'd have to be that literally basically put her eyeball on it. I didn't realize that she'd have to be that close with my left leg like humped over the table and my other foot on the floor. It looked like I was basically trying to like eat her with my crotch. It looked like the Feed Me Seymour from that, you know, Little Shop of Horrors. And she took one quick look, stood back up, and what's funny enough, didn't stand back. So I'm there, left leg thrown over the table, right leg on the floor, my hands in a very private area. She is standing right there. She stands up, basically where her belt buckle and or like frill of her shirt could basically touch where my hand was covering myself, and stood and looked down at me and continued to talk, using her hands, making gestures, very close, like 2 inches away from me. And I was like, this is a compromising position to be in when you're just talking about a mole. And then finally, at the end of her long sentence, she kind of made me feel embarrassed because I wasn't immediately getting dressed. Like, she was the one standing so close that I would have had to, like, push her back to get dressed. But she finishes her long sentence and then looks down at me and goes, oh, you should get dressed. And I was like, I would love to. So I was like, okay. And then she goes back to her desk and I like hurriedly get dressed like a really embarrassed hooker. I'm like, okay, I'll just leave the money. I'll just take the money and go. You know, like my knees are like wobbly and pop, like knocking into each other. And I'm like frantically trying to get my belt buckled. And of course, also like wearing Birkenstocks in this hot day with like a sweaty shirt. I am not in a flattering, I am not presented in my most flattering way. Let's just say that, okay? Long story short, super embarrassing but very funny interaction with this good doctor who spoke good English, and basically the mole's nothing. Like, she's, you know, they're gonna remove it. She doesn't even really know if that's totally necessary. She's like, it's nothing, you know, if it's giving you some issues, we'll just take it off and we can send it for testing, you know, to know for sure. But it doesn't look like anything's wrong. It looks like exactly what I thought it was, which is that's a mole in a high friction area. It's up there deep in the thigh. I'm a big guy. I'm sweating. It's summertime. The legs are all rubbing. I was like, I guessed that actually it's just being like beaten and pummeled so much inside my underwear that probably it's just like losing blood flow or something like that. She's like, yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. I was like, oh, looks like I'm a doctor now. Looks like I'm a doctor, lady. Why don't you take off of your pants and I'll stand uncomfortably close to you. Okay. But basically, yeah, I'm a medical PhD in dermatology now. And they're going to remove the mole next week, although I'm pretty sure I could do it myself with some scissors and some ice cubes. And we'll see how it goes from there, but everything looks good. So, I mean, that scooter ride from the dermatologist's office back to the train station to get home, talk about floating on air, people. Talk about floating on cloud nine, brother. Talk about, hey, man. Was you nervous about therapizing yourself and it turned out to be a really nice, smooth transition into gaining perspective on your mental health journey? I was like, sure was, partner. And then they were like, hey, Jordan, were you scared to get a mole checked because you thought it might be cancer? And then it was a really fun conversation with a pretty girl who told you don't worry about your mole because it's nothing. Oh, yes, that's true. It was exactly like that. Well, sounds like a good day to me, brother. Yes, that sounds like a good day to me. And did you stop at the Victualian Market in the center of the city and get yourself not one but 2 spicy salami gorgonzola sandwiches on freshly baked focaccia? Why, I sure did. I surely did. Sounds like it was a pretty good day to me there, brother. It surely was. I cannot... And I shan't not complain. Funny last thing here. Saw a friend yesterday pop by the house and I told her the story about the mole. And she was like, yeah, my husband has to, he's gone to get things checked a couple times. And I was like, oh, does he have like an individual mole that he worries about because it's sometimes irritating him? She's like, no, he just goes in for a full check. And his doctor's also a woman. I was like, what do you mean he goes in for a full check? She's like, yeah, he goes in and, you know how he is. He's German. He's totally comfortable with nudity. So he just goes in and gets completely naked and just stands there in a T-pose. I was like, he just goes to a dermatologist, strips down butt naked and spreads cheeks and just lets this doctor roam around him. She's like, yeah, of course. They have to check to see if there's any bad moles. I was like, you're telling me that your husband goes to a female dermatologist, squirts, like splits, I'm using all the wrong words, strips down into his birthday suit upon entering the clinic and bends over for this lady to put like a magnifying glass down his ass crack and like, does he stand over her, like squatting over her so she can check under the taint and stuff? Like, what? What? I was like, I asked my dermatologist if I should, I was like, should I worry about any other like general moles I have on my body? She's like, oh, if they change color or get irritated, you did the right thing. It changed. You got worried about it. You came in. That was the right thing to do. Otherwise, most moles, if they don't change color or irritate you, it's probably not a big deal. You've had it since you were born, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, it's fine. So big diff from going into the clinic just to get naked. I mean, the guy can just go to the Munich River. Everyone else is naked there. Bananas. Anyway, thank you guys for listening today. I'm going to end it here a little short today. But this has been a lot of fun. Do the things that make you uncomfortable or nervous, because the payoff is legitimately pretty cool. Brim Bamborium on the 20th. And then, yeah, I don't know what's coming in the next months. Some cool things, hopefully. And yeah, you guys are the best. Hey, if you had fun, you enjoyed this. If you're coming over here from Instagram listening to the show, I hope you had fun. Please, it helps me so much if you subscribe, like, rate the podcast, leave a comment wherever you listen to it. If you can share it with a buddy, tell someone about it. It really helps me grow this community. We can all, connect more to each other. And yeah, I hope to see you guys around soon. And I love you very much. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.